Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. You know what time it is, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. I am JT. I'm the co-host of this show, it's titled The No Chaser. And you all know who the host of this show is. It'd be Mac Williams, and he's walking in the door, sitting right down, and here he is, Mac.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm glad y'all had a good week. I definitely had a good week, but then again, I never have too many bad weeks anyway. This is the No Chaser Show with Mac Williams, my co-host Jerry, and just want to let you guys know that the show is brought to you by Trinity Web Solutions, but enough about me and enough about that. I am very humbled and honored to have a great guest on my show who has taken his valuable time to come on the show with us, and that would be P. Rilla, the CEO, the Money Team, the CEO of Filthy Rich Records, which is Floyd Mayweather's record company. And we just want to welcome you, brother, and thank you for coming on the show.
Nah, you know it's all love, baby. I'm here.
Absolutely. New York's finest. Definitely is in the house. P, a lot of times, like I said, I have guests on my show, and we were kind of talking pre-show. And one of the things I told you is I said, look, I try to give my listeners a perspective of a person. And I think what's problem is with some of us is that we see the glitz and the glamour. We see where the person is, but we don't understand the process it took to get there. So if you could, starting out this interview, tell us, what were you doing before you met Floyd, and what happened, and how did you meet him, and how did you kind of, you know, get to the point? Kind of expound on that, and then we'll jump in and out or what have you, but feel free.
Some years ago, probably 7-8 years ago, Floyd was in New York, and, I was working a 9-to-5 at the time, and I also was grinding because I was heavy into music then. But, I was grinding, trying to build my own career as an artist. And a guy knew I was trying to get in contact with Floyd. Me and my dad, which is Poster Boy, we was both trying to get in contact with Floyd because we knew he had Filthy Rich Records and we were trying to pursue our music career. The guy put us in contact with him downtown Manhattan at the hotel. As soon as I met Floyd, it popped off instantly. He took a liking to me. Of course, Floyd is Floyd, so I already knew what he was about. And he just sat there and, dissected me. He asked me 1,000 questions about my background, like what's my future goals, what's my short-term goals and everything. And, he took me out to the club later that night, and he said to me, he said, look, I done been around a lot of people. I know who, full of it. I know who real, and you one of the real ones, and, I want to invite you somewhere. And I was like, cool, just let me know. And after that, he was like, I'm going to be in contact with you. I'm saying to myself, like, how? You never got a number on me. But somehow, some way, Floyd had somebody call me, one of his assistants at the time, which was Tasha, a lady named Tasha Robinson. She called me and said, hey, Floyd is having a concert in a whole weekend in Grand Rapids, which is his hometown. He's giving back to his hometown. He's going to throw a party, a concert, and all types of events, and he wanted you to be a part of it. You can perform at the concert. And I'm like, wow. So he put me up there. It was Young Jeezy at the time who was headlining the concert.
Wow.
So, I got to open up. Me and my guy, Poster Boy, got to open up for that. And, he talked to me again for hours and hours during the weekend that he had, the celebrity weekend that he had. And after that, he was like, yo, I want you with me, man. And I just kept saying, yeah, you probably tell that to a lot of people, because a lot of people trying to get in that position. But
right.
He was like, look, I can see. He invited me to Vegas. So when he invited me to Vegas, Poster Boy was already in Vegas. He invited me because I was working. Poster Boy was not working, so I had to attend my regular job. So every time I would come, I would party, go shopping, do it all. But I'd be like, yo, Floyd, I gotta go back home because I gotta go to work. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna fly you out. But you know, Floyd got so much on his mind, he forgot. But then when he asked where Pirilla at, they said, oh, he left. He had to go to work. So Floyd, like, man, like, someone to take their job that serious like that, man, I need them with me. You know what I'm saying? Because I got a whole bunch of people around me, and they not even taking, you know, they taking the situation for granted.
Right.
And then I lost contact with Floyd, and I really lost contact with him, but him and Poster Boy wasn't seeing eye to eye as far as business was going. And I was really on the strength of Poster Boy, kind of. So when Poster Boy left the situation, being loyal to him, I left the situation, you know, when it could have been a great opportunity for me.
Right.
You know, but, you know, that was my guy, so I said, okay, if you're not dealing with it, I'm not dealing with it. Even though I could have used the situation, it would have been beneficial to me. But I was like, all right, cool. So I went back to New York, and probably like 8 months to a year, like, I wasn't even in contact with Floyd.
Right.
And I was in D.C., and I'm riding with my guy, Lenard Lee. And I was in D.C. It's coincidental that I was in a Chocolate City, and I was, like, hanging out with my guy, and I turn on the radio, and it's saying Floyd gonna be at the nightclub, at Love Nightclub. So I'm calling people around that I know that's with Floyd before I even called him, even though I know I had his direct number. I'm calling people around just saying, like, what's going on? You're out here? Nobody picks up. I call Floyd, he don't pick up. After that, he calls me back and say, what's up, Pirilla? What's going on? Like it was regular. Like I just didn't speak to him for 8 months. And he's like, what's going on? What's up? I'm like, damn. He act like I spoke to him yesterday. I didn't speak to him in 8 months. And he like, I said, you in D.C.? He said, yeah. He said, yo, come straight to the hotel. I mean, come straight to a restaurant. That's what he said. He said, come straight to a restaurant. So my dad jet me over to the restaurant. We talk. I explain everything that I was doing in the past 8 months and stuff like that. And he's like, man, you need to come out to Vegas with me. So I was like, you know, I think about it, Floyd. He said, look, I'm having another weekend in Vegas. Come to the weekend, and we're going to talk about it some more. I just want you to be there. He had T.I. and a whole bunch of other celebrities come out, had a kickball game, party, pool party, everything.
Right.
And we spoke about it, and he said, look, I want you out here. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to see Floyd because, you know, I got a job. You know, I just can't leave the job. He said, I'm going to give you my word. You with me, you with me forever. That's what. And I said, okay, cool. I got a trip to Miami planned. If you come out to Miami, hang out with me in Miami, I'm going to come with you. I'm going to make that permanent decision to come to Vegas. And he said, okay, cool. You got my word. 2 weeks later, I'm in Miami. 2 weeks later, I'm in Miami. It's Friday. I call Floyd. Yo, what's up? I'm here. He said, okay, don't worry. I'll be here. I'm in the club. I'm on the line going to the club. It's raining. I'm standing on the line. I'm like, where's Floyd at, man? Like, I'm used to, you know, I'm used to the red carpet treatment, you know, at this time, you know, when I'm with him. So I'm like, where's Floyd at? So I go in the nightclub. I call him. I said, before I go in the nightclub, I call him. I said, yo, what's up? You going to be here? He said, yo, I'm going to be there. Don't worry. I said, all right, so I just went in the club for a little while. Went back to my hotel, and when I was in the hotel, he called me about 6 in the morning and said, come to Jerry's Diner. I'm here. I said, nah, you're not here. He said, look, just wash your face, brush your teeth, don't worry about nothing, just put some water on me. Yeah. I said, that was one of the quickest bird baths I ever took. I went down there, and he was there. He said, where you staying at? I said, I'm staying low rinky-dink joint, you know what I'm saying? He was like, look, I'm at the Shore Club. Move your stuff down to the Shore Club. I'm like, I bet. So we ate. I was in Miami. I had my brother. He was like, when your flight supposed to go back to New York? I was like, well, it's for Monday. I said, it's for Monday. He was like, all right. Well, you know, just let your brother know you'll be going back. He'll be going back by himself. So I'm like, look, bro, you on your own. I go with Floyd. Like, he gave me his word that he's going to come to Miami, show me a good time, take me out. And that was it. It was history from there. I had my one little weekend back. From there, we went to Cleveland, Chicago, Atlanta twice, Detroit, because he was doing the Beyonce tour at the time, so he was like a promoter on that tour. So we was going everywhere the tour was going at that particular time because he just wanted to see how the show was going, what his money was invested in, you know.
Right.
So he just wanted to stay on top of that. And then on August 22nd, which is my birthday, we flew back to Vegas, and, you know, I've accumulated, you know, clothes on the road, you know, if I'm going shopping, because, like I said, I only
right.
had a week in Vegas. I accumulated
right.
clothes, and I'm here 6-7 years later with, you know, a beautiful home, nice car, you know, nice bank account, jewelry, and a successful career.
Wow.
So, you know, like, I just didn't get here just by getting a handout. I came here on the strength of somebody else that was in power. I was a guy that was just helping out, you know, helping out with the bags. You know, I do my little rap, but, you know, whatever I needed to be helped with, I helped. He saw that, and, you know, I built myself to this position that I'm in now. You know, a lot of people that's been with Floyd longer is not in a position, but, you know, it's not about that. It's about, you know, grinding and going for what you know, you know. They could be mad
right.
at me all they want, you know, but, you know, I put myself here. Floyd ain't put me here. I put myself here because I showed him my skills and my talent and my loyalty and what I could bring to the table. So if you've been here 20 years and, you know, you're still in the same position, you know, you got to reevaluate yourself. I know what P. Real are doing.
Exactly. So let me ask you this. So what is it exactly that, I mean, just, I hear the story, but I want to know, what is it that he saw in you, your thinking, or what was it that put you in this position where you're running a major record company? And what did he see in you more than just the, you know, what was it that attracted him to you? Because obviously you guys had conversations, but it's something about either the way you think or some kind of talent or something he saw in you that made him say, this guy got to be with me. And I know it was more than just, let's go hang. So I wanted to know what that is.
Well, what it was is that he saw that I thought outside the box, and that's what I can't stress enough, you know, just thinking outside the box. You know, the normal
okay.
person, they think one way, and, you know, I'm not going to say it's the right way, but,
right.
you know, the normal way is not always correct. You know, you always got to
right.
think outside the box.
Right.
And he was doing Dancing with the Stars at the time, and I asked Floyd, how could I be a part of that? He was like, yo, you know, just be with me. You know what I'm saying? I was the only one that was there. It was me, him, and his manager, Leonard Ellerby at the time.
Right.
So at that time, the people on Dancing with the Stars was trying to get Floyd to do stuff, and he was like, okay, we're just running past James. That's my government name. So they're like, we're running past James. And Floyd's like, no, Leonard's my manager. They said, no, we'd rather deal with James. You know, we understand, we like how he works or whatever. So Floyd, like, damn, I already know. I didn't see the guy as a sharp guy because there's been times where Floyd thought nobody else thought like that, and me and him would be on the same page. So he'd be like,
okay.
Look, I never met somebody that thought the same thing that I'm thinking because, you know, his mind works wonders. You know, that's how he wins in the ring. He's
right.
incredibly talented and skillful, but he
right.
outthinks his opponent, you know. So his
mm-hmm.
mind is on another level. He has great ideas, and he brings them to light. So, you know,
okay.
once we found out that we was on the same mental magnitude, you know, that was it. You know, it was over. He was like, look, I ain't going to lie to you. This is no offense to nobody else, but you too smart to be a rapper, right? And I used to always be a rapper. And he was like, man, you got a business mind, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
you far more intelligent than these guys. And he was like, look, what do you think about running the record company? I mean, you still do your music, but I want you to go run a business and look for talent, look for artists, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and no, I know you're a leader, so I want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh yeah, you know, maybe I do it, you know. I'm not a person that's afraid of a challenge or responsibility, but, you know, I didn't know if he was just pulling my chain or just talking in circles or whatever. So I was like, yeah, okay, Floyd. So he had another celebrity weekend in Grand Rapids where he had a basketball game and a skating event and stuff like that. And when the dude on the microphone announced the people that was coming out, he was saying whoever it was, Jackie Long, the actor, dude from B2K, one of the B2K guys, and you know, just a host of other people. And when he said, and now bringing out the CEO of Filthy Rich Records, P. Rilla, I'm looking like, did he mistake the title or what? Because I know me and Floyd talked about it, but it was something we talked about, but never came to a conclusion. But he just made the decision for me.
Right.
And was like, look, like, I know he wasn't, I know this is the guy for the position, and I'm going to put him there, and I'm willing to take any repercussions behind it because I put my faith in him. You know what I'm saying? If Floyd don't back anything, he don't 100% believe in it. So from that day, from that day on, I wasn't looked at like P-Rilla, the guy around. It was like, oh, this is the boss now. He one of the bosses. Floyd appointed him one of the bosses. So, you know, the guys around respected it. And, you know, it might have been a little hate, you know what I'm saying, because everybody got a little jealousy issues. But, you know, they're not going to confront me with it. So all the little side talk or the, you know, behind the back game, you know what I'm saying, that's neither here nor there. I just know they respect me, and you know, they come to me for advice and how to do things. And some of the guys I even put in position to work with the label, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, not only did Floyd put people in position, but it allowed me to put other people in position that's around us, that's with the money team. But it wasn't the money team back then, but you know, now it's the money team. Like, I got my guy Ricky Brazil really working close with me. And he has his management company, and he has artists, and he's starting a sports agency and stuff like that. So a lot of things is growing just from one person being in position.
Right. So let me ask. That brings up a great point. So, I mean, because it seems to me, you seem to me, in the little time that we've known each other and talked, you seem to me like a guy who wouldn't let side talk bother you anyway. You seem more like a guy who's just, you know what, y'all, people going to talk. I'm going to focus on what I got to do and prove myself. Now, and I guess that leads me to my next question is, how has it been since that time with the jealousy, maybe the hate or the talk or whatever? It's 8 years later. How has it been now? Do you still have that still going on kind of now, or has it kind of got to a point where instead of me, how should I say it? Sometimes, I've done that in my life. I've gotten into a certain position and people have not liked me. But I always found, and I've always lived by a creed, that if I do a good job and I prove myself and I work hard and I prove it, now you may not like me, but you'll respect me because I didn't just get here and rest on my laurels and just get here and just be, that's all I am. I actually earning it. I'm earning it. I'm actually doing it. So I'm saying, has it gotten better since you've taken that position now and it's these years later? Has that gotten better?
I mean, the haters, the more successful you become, the haters going to just rise because that's fuel to the fire.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about the hate. You know, the hating is going to be there forever.
Right.
Even when you die, people going to hate on you. They're going to have something bad to say about you, and the man
that's
might
true.
Be gone. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
True.
So we can't avoid that. I just learned to build a thick skin, you know, and you know, before my skin might not have been as thick as it is now, but that comes with, you know, age, wisdom, and experience of just being around. And now, you can't please everybody. You know, all I got to do is worry about pleasing myself. You know, it's about self-preservation. You know, I please myself, and as long as I make myself happy and God know that I'm doing the right thing, that's all that matters, because you got to understand this. Anybody that hate on you is obviously uncomfortable with themselves, and I feel like if you hate on me, then you hate yourself, because I'm a dude that you can't possibly not like. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not a shady dude. You know, I'm a man of my word. I keep it 100. I'm honest. So if you don't like me, you don't like yourself. So you know, they got to go back to the drawing board and figure out what they got to do with themselves, and use that same energy they're using to be negative towards people and put into whatever they're trying to do in life, because I'm successful, you know, I'm happy, and that's all that matters. You know, I don't worry about it. I don't worry about if you say, oh, P. Rilla don't come to the hood no more. I done been in Harlem all my life, dude, and I worked hard to get out of it. So if I go through the hood as a visit, I'm not hanging on no corners. My business is not there. That's not how I make my money. So
exactly.
They can say that, but these be the same people that want to say hi to you and hug you and take a picture with you when you back home, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm not worried about what you say, because at the end of the day, 9 times out of 10, when you look at your position and look at the person hating position, you're going to be in a better position than they are. Because if you wasn't, then like me, I can't, why would I hate on somebody? Because I don't have no motive. Because I'm driving a nice car, I'm going to a nice place. You know what I'm saying? I'm buying nice things, eating at nice restaurants, doing things with my daughter. So why do I have the time to talk about somebody that might be beneath me? You know, I don't even have the time to even hate on you because I'm not acknowledging that because I'm still focused on myself and me growing as a person.
Absolutely. So, I'm glad to hear you say that, man, because there's a lot of I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry.
So my question is, P-Rilla, where did this self-drive come from? Way back when, who motivated you or got you into this state of mind in your youth to be where you're at right now?
Good question.
It was born in me, you know. I'm from Harlem and I'm a Leo. So, you know, that was instilled in me from a baby, you know. I'm a born leader. Leaders only could be born. He can't be made. You can't make somebody a leader. You know, you got to have that person that take initiative. You know, I was always that guy that was in my neighborhood that they recognized, like, they say, oh, yeah, P. Oh yeah, we only respect P. We don't care about none of y'all. We respect P. Or I was always like the captain of the basketball team, or something like that. So I was always a leader. So this go back to the childhood youth days. So you know that all my life I've been in control. If I had my crew just like Floyd, you know, in charge over here, I played an underboss role. But, you know, I got my guys where I'm the big dog and I'm the leader, and I had that all my life. Well, whether it was college, high school, regular in the hood, you know, and I have a strong presence, you know. So when I step there, my presence is going to be felt, and wherever I go, people are going to remember me because I'm going to let myself be remembered. I'm going to do things to make myself remembered, and I got that strong presence about myself, you know.
Wow.
And it's just a dog.
Yeah. Wow. Was there a parent or grandparent, anybody who maybe taught you some lessons along the way or things that you learned from? Was it basketball coach or I think Jerry's question is there ever a mentor or somebody that you kind of like learned from as you were coming up? Even though you're a leader, you might have learned from or picked this up from them or picked that up from them or pick a person's brain. Because sometimes. You know, you have mentors or people that you can talk to and say, hey, you know, what about this or what about that? So I'm just wondering, I think that was kind of what Jerry was asking, and I was kind of like curious.
I don't have to say, you know, I didn't skip around the question. I just let it be known that there was really nobody, you know, like because it was something that I was just born with. So I wasn't trying to dance around the question. But if I had to pick one person, I would say my grandmother because she taught me how to be independent. You know, she made me cook for myself.
Mayweather's record company.
Right. I got you. Jerry, what you got on? Whatever you got on is loud.
She made me do the laundry at the age of 9 years old. She made me watch my little brother because I was staying with her at a particular time. And she taught me how to be independent and never depend on anyone. And another person, you know, y'all hit the nail on the head, was a basketball coach. You know, his name is Wayne Banner. You know, he took me off the streets and saw that I had talent and I just needed some guidance behind me, you know, and he brought me to the AAU team. And from there, I was a new guy, and he made me captain of the team. And, you know, he always put me on a pedestal there. So, you know, and he was like, even though I had an older brother, but my older brother was in the streets at the time, you know, so he couldn't really, you know, he was in my life, but he couldn't really, really, like, give me that idle time that I might have needed. So I spent more time with my coach at the time because I was playing basketball so much. You know, he would come to my games. He would, you know, come to school to check on me. And my school at the time was a public school, was right next to the center that the AAU team was. So he would be at his job, and he would just walk right down to the next door and come into school and ask my teacher how things was going. And I was the captain of every team from 10 years old up into college, you know. So you got to show leadership in that, and it's not something that I asked to be. You know, I was just appointed these positions in life. So, you know, it's about taking initiative, you know.
Absolutely.
People are afraid of responsibility, and that's one thing that I'm not. So, you know, if I see something that needs to be done or something that needs to be said, I'm gonna step up to the plate. A lot of people don't want that, so
absolutely.
You know, it's
not, absolutely.
It's not saying they not responsible or they not the person for the job, but you know, a lot of people don't want to deal with that headache. You know, I deal with a lot of people. A lot of people don't want the headache, and some people just rather be in one lane. You know what I'm saying? I always want to rise to the occasion and go above and beyond.
Wow. That's incredible, man. I mean, like I said, obviously it sounds to me like, you know, Floyd found the right guy. But what I wanted to ask you is, right now, what are the do you have any artists right now on Filthy Rich, and who are they?
The only artist right now that we're really working with is Earl Hayes. You know, he's in L.A. currently recording an album and mixtape.
Okay.
We're doing a Money Team compilation that consists of a lot of people affiliated with the Money Team. We have we got myself on there. We got Earl Hayes. We have Tank. We got Ray J. We have Floyd even rapping on a few songs on there. And we're going to have a few outside people. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to call them outsiders, but, you know, extended family that's successful in the music business. I'm not really going to put that out there right now because that's still, you know, in the workings. But it's going to be a good album. It's called The Money Machine, and The Money Machine was kind of my mixtape. You know, it was my solo mixtape because I was doing music at the time. You know, just, you know, focusing on my solo career outside the Money Thing. But me and Floyd felt it was best to kind of, like, make it a compilation of the whole team because it coincided with the Money Team, you know, the Money Machine, the Money Team. So it was a perfect title. You know, we're about 8-9 songs deep in, and we're going to go about 12 to 14 strong, and we're going to release it hopefully this summer.
Okay. And let me ask you this. How would any person who is listening to this, who is an aspiring artist, an artist or doing anything, maybe they're undercover, you don't see them or what have you, because I live here in the D.C. area. I live in the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area, and I just didn't know how would someone go about sending something to you or getting in contact with you if they wanted you to hear something or let's say anything like that. What would you recommend they do?
Well, I have my guy who handles all of that. You know, at first I was listening to a lot of the material because I do believe in giving people the opportunity the same way I was given one.
Absolutely.
So, but at the time, my email got flooded. My Twitter was going off like a jumping jack. So I learned that way, you know. So I got my guy. His name is Success J. You know, he does a lot of work with me. Y'all can hit him up at SuccessJ at Gmail, SUCCESSJAE at Gmail. And Success J is his Twitter, you know.
Okay.
So what he really does is he listens to all the music, the beats that's submitted, the bios, the music that's submitted, and he kind of filters it out and then give it to me. So that alleviates me having to listen to 100 records, 100 songs, whatever. And he sends me the top ones that he do believe have a shot, and then that's how I listen to it. So y'all can contact Success J.
Okay, make sure after the show, P, you text that to me. So that way I have it on myself, and then like I said, if anybody comes to me, I'll definitely send them that way and have them submit it or what have you. Is there anything you should that an artist should do, a proper way to send things or what you're looking for as far as, and I guess I'm not a music person like you are, so I, you know, what catches your eye? Is it more I send a bio and the music or what have you? Is there a specific kind of like music way to send stuff, or how does that work?
Well, it's about creativity. You know, I want to hear the versatility in the artist and the creativity. You know, we're looking for someone that's special, you know, someone that doesn't sound like everything that's going on, and someone that's also talented at the same time. You know, it doesn't really matter about the look no more, how people was back in the days, but I just say the creativity and put your best foot forward. You know, if you got a hot record, send that one first. Don't send me three and then the hot record be the fourth one because we might not even get to that record. You know what I'm saying? That's how you might get overlooked.
Exactly.
So, you know, you got to put your best foot forward and know, just like with anything, any interview, you want to have a great first impression. So
exactly.
So any artists that may be listening, you know, y'all know to send the best music that y'all feel is quality, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question. Since you're a music guy, what are your thoughts? And I always ask music people this when we have them on the show, whether it be a manager or what have you, is what do you think about shows like American Idol and X Factor? I just want to know from a music guy, I mean, as far as singing, I know there's not a whole lot of rap or nothing like that, but what do you think about that?
I mean, I love those shows. I don't really personally watch them as much. It's funny because, like I said, my grandmother's a big inspiration, and I actually watch a lot of those shows when I'm with her, spending time with her, because those are the shows that she watched.
Oh,
know,
okay.
And some of these people are not as talented as others, but I do feel that them shows are tremendous, and they're giving people opportunities to display their talent, and I think there should be more shows like that, you know. We might need to come up with a rap one, you know, to look for rappers, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I was telling Floyd we should do a Money Team reality show where we go around different states and different cities and look for artists, you know, hip-hop artists. So I do love those shows.
Yeah, I would definitely tune in for that because I think that's a great idea. That's something that nobody else has out here right now looking for a rapper or whatever. I think that would – you definitely have a niche there. I think that would be great. Because rappers get on a show like – I notice every time we see like the X Factor, I don't know if you watch that, but every time a rapper gets on there, they always have like one rapper, one rap group, and they're always like the first ones to go. And I'm like, what is that about? You know, and I know –
it's so saturated. Rap is so saturated. They feel, oh, this is a regular guy that we hear all the time. You know, unless it's somebody who's bringing something different to the table, and you know, they might be in contrast with saying that they have to have at least you know, one or two rap acts on there, and they do it to pacify the people, and then they go to what they want to do. You know, so. You know, we don't know. I really don't keep up with the X Factor, and I know American Idol is really focusing on singing, but,
right.
You know, I do believe that shows like that give people opportunities because there has been careers made off it. Now, whether the careers were successful or lasted long is another thing, but at least
absolutely.
We saw something in you and gave you a shot, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's all about that next move because you have to have a follow-up because many people – have opportunities, but it's about what am I going to do next? Okay, I'm in the door, but what am I going to do next? You know, anybody
absolutely.
Can have a hit record, but after the hit record, what's your plans? How do you want to keep the buzz? How do you want to have a longevity in your career? And a lot of people got to think about that. It's just not getting in the door, you know, because a lot of people are blessed with that opportunity. It's about having longevity and being focused on what you're doing.
Wow.
Hey, Mac?
Jerry, yeah?
I've got a caller that's been sitting on the phone for a while. I don't know if you want to take the caller or what.
No, I want to stay focused on my man. I'm gonna
no
stay
problem.
Focused on P. I wanna try to get this interview in and get this down and
y'all gotta filter the callers because if the caller is trying to ask me something, we gotta know. So we gotta filter
all
the callers.
All right, if
the
P call,
out.
Hey, he's a
bone.
He's a call. He's a shot.
Jerry,
put him through.
The people too.
All right, put him through. Put him through.
Okay.
No problem. If he says it, that's my man. That's my
all
man.
Right.
Put him through.
Caller from the 347. Welcome to the No Chaser Show. State your name and ask your question if you like. Call from 347. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on? This is Success Jay. I'm just tuning in to show support to P. Rilla and what he got going on.
Hey.
I actually work with P. Rilla.
That's
just,
Success Jay right
just...
there. Call right
I know. That's what I just said. I heard it say Success Jay. I was like, okay. How you doing,
I'm doing good. I'm checking out the show. You know what I'm saying? It's a great interview. And it's informative, you know. Some things I didn't even know. So you learn something new every day. Shouts out to P. Rilla and shouts out to you, Jerry, and everybody at the show. Like I heard about the show a while ago, but I never really checked it out. But now, you know, you got somebody that's gonna check it out every time y'all come on. Now, you know.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it, man.
Definitely.
P, I didn't know you work with P and don't know stuff about him. Dang, P, what's going on with that, man? Kind of boss is you, man? No, I'm playing. Keep your employees at arm's length.
One of the guys behind the scene, you know?
Right. Now, he's the guy you said they send the music to and he listens to. Is that correct?
Right. At first, like, you know, for many years, people never thought Success J existed because on his Twitter at the time, which we go back past that, in MySpace, he never even had pictures. It was pictures of scenery. So we was there, like, is this picture? Is this person really exist? So, you know, he's like a ghost, you know, and he like to lay low. So,
what's going on with that, Success? What's going on with that, man?
I mean, I'm about to step off of this interview, but less is more, though. Less is more. Less is more.
Thanks, man, for stopping by, man. I really appreciate it, man. We'll definitely be in contact, brother. Thank you, man, for stopping
through. Okay, all good.
Out.
God bless.
All right, man.
Same here.
Man, that's funny. That was great.
That's my guy, though.
Yeah, man. It seems like a very astute gentleman. Like it was like laughing. It was like scenery. Like, who does that?
You gotta surround yourself with positive people and great people, you know, and people that's on the same vision that you have. You know, you can't have nobody that's trying to have a fork in the road and all that, because that's when discrepancies happen, you know. So I just gather people that have the same, like I said, thinking outside the box, who are going to have bright ideas and bring something to the table. And that's what the Money Team is about. People think the Money Team is about everybody having a Rolls Royce or everybody having millions of dollars. It's not about that. The Money Team is a group collectively doing things and bringing things to the table. Like, you know, Mac and Jerry, y'all Money Team, because y'all got me on the show. So, you know, soon we're going to have my boy Ricky Brazil on the show, and I'm going to have Floyd call into the show and stuff like that. And when we're in D.C., you know, y'all show us love. Y'all in Vegas, we show y'all love. And that's what the Money Team is about. It's not about actually money, you know. Like Floyd always say, you got to be rich in spirit. Everybody don't have to have $1 million or a Rolls Royce. You know, a construction worker is Money Team.
Absolutely.
You know, it's come hook my house up, baby. You know what I'm saying? You down with the team. And if you need something, I got you. You know, that's how I go. One hand wash the other. You know, both wash the face.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I just want to say this, is that, you know, everybody knows about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I first came down to Vegas. My wife brought, she's been going for 20 years. She's been coming for 20 years to Vegas. But when we met, she took me down 2 years ago, and I met Floyd. Actually met Joe Jackson that day, and I think and it was actually Andre Durrell who introduced me to Floyd. And you weren't. I wanted to meet you, but you weren't around. But I met him, and you know, I tell people this to this day. You know, I said, you know, people have a lot of bad things to say about Floyd, but I told him, I said, when I met Floyd, Floyd is always, and the people in that gym, period. I must say this, have always treated me and my wife with the utmost respect. We come. Have a seat. Hey, how you doing? I mean, Floyd Sr., I met him for the first time along with you this time. And Floyd Sr. is hilarious. I've never laughed so hard in my life, man. The dude is just hilarious, but the nicest guy in the world. Met you.
And
you came up to me.
That's what it's about. Like,
yeah.
That's what it's about. Like, when you talk to me, like, we embrace people with open arms, and people have the misconception of the Floyd Mayweather that's on television, you know.
Right.
If you meet him in real life, you know, he's the most open-hearted,
yes,
you know, big-hearted person that you possibly can meet. So, you know, people see that TV image, and he already has portrayed himself as the bad guy from the beginning of his career, and he's done that to become who he is now, because everybody can't be the good guy. Somebody has to be the bad guy.
Exactly.
And he chose to take that role. Just like I said, it's all about accepting the responsibility, and that's how success is made.
Right. And that's why I said the one thing, and that's why I tell people all the time when I come back, and you know, people see the pictures and this and that, and they say, man, you know, how are they? You know, people think, are they this and that? I was like, look, let me tell you something. I said, when I came back down there, even, like I tell them, even John Sinclair, John who runs the gym, remembered me right off the bat as soon as I came in. Hey, man, welcome back. Have a seat. Come on in. No problem. You know, you came in. Ellaby came in. I mean, it's what people don't understand is you guys are down-to-earth guys, and y'all will walk up to anybody and say, hey, hello, how you doing? Somebody asks you a question, you talk to them. But these people get this image from TV, And they don't understand. I said, when I met Floyd, Floyd's the nicest guy in the world. Told me, he was the one who told me I'd come back for training camp. He was like, you can come back for training camp when I next time I'm dressing. He said, fine, you can come back. He said, his exact words, he said, it's going to be crowded as shit, but you can come back. You know, I was like, fine, I'll be
right.
back. You know, I said, fine, I'll be back. No problem. You tell me that, I'm good. And it's just been that way. And now meeting you, you know, it's, you know, we've kicked it and we've been doing nothing but texting since I've been back to D.C. But I feel like there's no, you know, if I wanted to ask you something or tell you something, I mean, and people don't understand, you know, and I learned this a long time ago, and Jerry will tell you this because of all the guests I've had and the people that I know, you know, people
right.
always say, well, how do you meet these people? How do you know these people? I said, you know, I just have a gift of being able to walk up to people and just talk to people like they normal. Just talk to people and just ask them. I said, here's the thing. All you can do is ask. All they can do is say no. It's nothing to it. But if you come across as genuine, yeah.
That's what I was saying before. Like, when you have a certain presence about yourself, people going to see that immediately. Even if 1,000 people come up to Floyd and say, oh, could I try to talk some? When you genuine and you real, people going to recognize that. And you
yeah,
had a conversation with you. And I remain humble, and I do things as normal as everybody else because I know things could be taken away, and God could take my blessings away
yep.
at any time. You know,
yep.
if I go to somewhere, if I go to the nightclub establishment or a restaurant, and people not let me in immediately, I don't know. Oh, you don't know who the hell I am, and all that. I'll get you fired. I don't do that because you know it's not about that. I sit there and
exactly.
wait patiently like everyone else. You know, I'm not going to let you take advantage of me, but at the end
right.
of the day, I'm going to remain humble and I want to blend in as much as I can with people. Like, I go back home. Not to, I stay at the W Hotel and all kinds of hotels in New York when I go home. But, you know, there's a lot of times where I go spend time with my grandmother and sleep on her couch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I was once there before. I was sleeping on the couch at one particular
exactly.
time, you know, as my residence. So why would I have a problem with going back, spending the night, spending time with my grandmother sleeping on the couch? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So it's all about remaining humble. I ain't going to say, all right, Grams, I'm out. I'm going to the W. I'm going to this 5-star hotel. I'm not going to do that. We're going to kick it, and I'm going to do the same thing I was doing from the time before I got in the position that I'm in now.
Exactly. And that's what I think it's all about. And that's why I say, you know, a lot of people, you know, have asked me, you know, why do you know all these people? And I'll be honest with you. Like Jerry knows this. I know that I'm a Christian. And one thing I know is that, you know, too many times, and I'm going to say it about us, as black folks, we get to know people. And what we do is, let's say I know you, Pete. If I know you, then somebody may come to me and say, you know what, I can sing. And I hear somebody sing or whatever, and they come to me and say, hey, you know, I need an opportunity. My responsibility, now this is the same Bible that I read, is God blesses me to know you. But he didn't bless me to know you, P, just for me to know you. It ain't for me. Sometimes it's for somebody else. So when I meet somebody else, guess what? I go, hey, P, I got this girl that can really sing, or I got this guy that needs an opportunity. And I turn them on to you. Now, whatever you do with that, that's fine. But see, God holds me responsible for the fact that I blessed you to know this person because I wanted you to help these people. Because guess what? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that goes back to how I met Floyd. I met Floyd on the strength of somebody else.
Yeah.
The other guy, Poster Boy, was closer to Floyd. He was Floyd, but I knew Poster Boy, and Poster Boy was my best friend at the time.
Exactly.
But Floyd
exactly.
was more like to me than
right.
to Poster Boy, you know,
right.
and that's how
right.
I got in position. So, like, the blessings come in disguises sometimes,
yes,
like, you know what I'm saying? So it might have not been an opportunity for Poster Boy the opportunity might have been to put P. Rilla in position to meet Floyd, you get what I'm saying?
Right.
So we just
sure.
recognize these blessings
right.
when they come and
exactly.
keep our eyes open.
And that's what I try to tell, you know, I work at a my job is I work at a high school. I work for the PG County Public Schools, and I go to high school every day because I'm a dedicated assistant. And one of the things
yeah.
I try to tell the kids in school, and especially the teenagers, I tell them, I said, look, more than they always talking about money and talking about this and talking about that and all the artists and people like Floyd and stuff like that. And I always tell them, I say, look, man, the most valuable skill you can get in this life is learn how to have relationships. Learn how to get to know people. Treat everybody the same, because you never know who's going to be. People that you sit here and tease because he's a fat boy could turn out to be a billionaire one day. You got to treat these people just like you treat everybody else. I said, if you do it, I said, you'll find yourself in front of people that you never thought you'd be in front of. If somebody told me years ago, I know all the people that I know now, I'd have said, man, get out of here. I ain't going to know these people. But it's just happened. But at the same time, I always remember what God told me. Who I put you in front of is not always for you. Sometimes it's for somebody else. I put you in a position to help somebody else. And I think as long as I keep that thought and helping other people, I get blessed. I get more stuff than people know. I get happy, man, from if I give you an artist, somebody who needs an opportunity, P, and I put them in front of you, and it turns out you can use them and you put them in a certain position, I ain't hating. Guess what I'm doing? I'm happy. Because guess what? Here's what we forget. When I give that person to P and P goes and takes them, I look to God to bless me for that. I don't look to P to owe me nothing. I don't look to the person to owe me anything. I look to God to owe me. And guess what? He got more money than anybody. He can pay me back 100 times better than anybody could ever do. So for me, it's about relationships and it's about knowing. Like I said, when I got to know you at just the short talk we had, I'm trying to help my man, the pharmacist, out. Because pharmacist told me, man, when you go down there, if you see him, talk to him. And I said, if I see him, I want to talk to him. You ain't got to worry about it. I'll mention it, I'll say it. And look what happened. And, I mean, I never thought that. And like I said, man, I'm great. I'm glad to know you. I'm glad to be able to call you, you know, an associate. Hopefully one day I can call you a friend and we can do things together and I can push people towards you and help you out. Or if you're in D.C., I can help y'all with whatever. I'm the same thing. And the one lesson I do want to say is this, that what your talk tonight was is this. This is what I learned more than anything. It's about people don't understand how valuable it is to be a servant, to serve others. Serving others in this society is looked upon as being a sucker or being stupid or being a flunky or whatever. And what they don't understand is I'll say, man, look, everybody before they became something was a servant. You have to become a servant and be humble and help somebody first before you can become a boss. Even Jesus washed the feet of other people, did he not? Even Jesus didn't start out being Jesus. He started out being a humble carpenter, a little boy. He wasn't old, so he served somebody. Everybody has to serve somebody. You served your time and served your time and helped Floyd out and jumped in where you could. And guess where? Look where it got you. So, you know, I just want to put it out there that serving somebody is not a sucker move. It's a move to go further. So
we do have.
What do you think about a yes man as being in agreement with everything somebody say? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what a yes man is.
Right.
When Floyd was wrong in situations, I told Floyd he was wrong, and I told him why he was wrong, and he respected it coming from me because nobody really never told him that. So being a yes man, I said, oh, yeah, that's cool. Just like if you look at like if you look at the 30 days in May, when they interview me, I said, you really think I'm going to sit here and let Floyd beat on a woman and I'm just going to sit here and watch?
That's all
right. I'm not that kind of dude. I would say, you're Floyd, you're a bargain, you know what I'm saying, whatever, and I would have restrained him and took him out the place, like, you know what I'm saying, because that's not cool stuff no matter who it is, you know. If he do certain things, if he did, like, one time back in the days, he was talking and he used vulgar language, and I saw a little girl there, and I said, Floyd, chill. Then he said, oh, damn, thanks, Pete, thanks. He said, thanks. But everybody else was just laughing along with him, you know, laughing along things.
Right.
It's funny. I'm like, there's a little girl in the presence, and you saying the P word about females and stuff like that. And I'm just like, okay, it's cool amongst us and the guys and all that jokingly, but you got a little girl with her mom right here, you know what I'm saying, and that can do something. So,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying, I try to keep him on a straight path more than anything, on a positive path, you know. So, you know, a lot of people, when you got yes men and stuff like that, nothing but negativity comes out that. And I felt I was a friend at that time, you know, and I felt he
I was his friend, he was my friend. So as a friend, I should be able to tell you these things.
Absolutely.
Like, my friends, my friends that I have, they could be like, yo, P, you wrong, or this, or like, and I'm going to respect it, because at the end of the day, they're not here for the money. They knew me way before this, and they say,
exactly.
Oh, P, get mad at me and
right.
curse me out. You know, some people might say, well, I can't curse Floyd out because he's the boss, so he might restrict the money from me. You're going to cut me off,
right.
you know? But,
right.
you know, if you got to, you know, if you're my friend, at the end of the day, we're going to bump heads, and we're not going to see eye to eye.
Absolutely.
You know, but if the relationship is genuine, we're going to get
Absolutely.
Past that, and we're going to laugh tomorrow.
Absolutely.
If it's not,
you're going
to be really mad at me. And if you're mad at me for trying to put you on to something positive and take you away from doing something wrong, then, you know, I'm not the guy that you want around then.
Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely.
And, Mac, we do have
Jerry?
Another caller here. We do have another call.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hold on. Here we go. Excuse me. Call from the 914. Welcome to the No Chaser Show. State your name and ask your question if you like.
This Fall.
This who?
This pharmacist. What's going on?
What's up, Farm? There he is. There he is. Hey, P. Rilla, the pharmacist
what's
from
up?
AM1.
Hold
there
on.
There it is.
What's going on, baby? Hey, nothing, man. I'm chilling, man. I'm waiting for that
one-on-one.
Hello?
Did you hear what he said?
Not here. I said I'm waiting for that one-on-one. Hey,
Come on, Farm. Don't be shy now.
Hey,
go ahead.
Let's do a home.
I was going to say, Mr. Pull the shirt over hot sauce and bounce the ball off his head in public on TV,
hey,
on ESPN.
We can do it.
I want you to make sure you get my number from Mac when we go off air. You know what I'm saying? So I can hook up with you I'm putting together a celebrity game probably at the Nassau Coliseum, probably like in late May, early June, and I want you to be a part of it. I spoke to Malloy on Twitter, so I'm gonna have him and I'm gonna have some celebrities, so you could definitely be a part of that. And I'm gonna talk to you and see what you got going on. Otherwise, though.
Yeah, definitely be involved with that, man. Appreciate the lookout, man.
All right. Well,
yeah.
See, I told you I was on the lookout for you, Farmer.
Yeah, I've been on the line. I've been on the line for a minute.
Yeah. I told you I wasn't going to let you down because Farmer right. said to me before you leave, he was like, man, he texted me. He was like, man, if you see Pete Rilla, man, I really need to talk to him, man. I got
right.
artists, and I'm trying to get this music thing going, and I'm like, dude, I got you. If I see him, I got
you. You know,
him.
The crazy
him.
Thing is that I've been hunting that down for, like, years because even when Post Boy was down, I was in Atlanta, and Boy was there, and I'm like, I'm not going around with 30 bodyguards, and it's just I was like, all right, I'm going to just hit something up on Instagram. I'm like, yo, they ain't responding back.
Ain't not a person. There'd be so many people. Sometimes I'm gonna be able to see it because it'll be clogging up my timeline and stuff.
Yo,
but I got you. You can have my direct now, so we, you know, huh?
And I told him, I said, when you get down there, man, you call me when you get there.
he did. Wait a minute. Hey, P, who's the first person I mentioned when I talked to you?
Yeah, you said, yo, after the interview, I got to make sure that you pharmacist's number. Cause
exactly.
That,
that's exactly what I said.
That's
the first thing I told him at the gym. I said, you got to talk to my man, the pharmacist. So, again, this is an example, though, P, of what I'm saying. It wasn't that I met you for me. I met you for him. There's a lot of friends, like I tell people all the time, there are friends that I have that I cannot use their talent. Presently right now in my life, like, I have no need for a filmmaker, but I got a filmmaker who can do documentaries and write up scripts and do all this stuff, but I can use him to help somebody else who needs it at that time so I can refer. So that's what this is all about. So, yeah, Farm, after the show, I definitely text over P's number, and y'all can talk and get together, and, I got you good, man. I got you, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. I appreciate that, man, you know. You already know it's a team.
It's all about love, fam.
It's all about the money team, baby. So we're part of the money team, so I'm happy with that. I'm just waiting on P to send me the shirt. That's what I'm waiting on, the shirt.
Yeah. You got everybody on the money team, you just need a street baller. I used to, the judge had told me in junior high school, you got to go boxer. I used to go toe-to-toe, but not on that level, but I could represent the money team. money team pretty well, you know.
He's crazy.
I tell you, boy, y'all New York brothers are hilarious, boy. Y'all don't lack no swag. I love it. I love it.
Hey, feeling? I wear size 9, and my shoes fit well.
They wear size 9.
Wear size 9, my shoes fit well.
Oh man, y'all hilarious. Hey, look.
Hey, Pete,
yeah,
you
I gotta get ready to run the gym. We training, so I gotta get ready to go up in the gym.
All right, well look, I know you gotta go to the gym, so let's end this. Farm, I hit you right after, man, with the number, because I'm gonna go ahead and end the show. But I'm gonna holler at you in a little bit, Farm. So thanks, man. I got you. P, I just want to say thanks, man. It's 7:54. I know you gotta go, but I just want to tell you, man, I really, really, really appreciate you coming on and doing this. And I wanted to ask you if it's possible that we could get to talk to Floyd maybe sometime before May 4th. If not, we'll talk to him after, whenever. It doesn't matter. But if we get both you guys on, I would love to.
Tonight, I'm going to talk to him, and I'll call you, and we'll figure it out where, you know, y'all can ask him a few questions. And I think it'll be better for the before the fight. You know, it's helping promote the fight. I don't think you should have a problem with that. Anything that I'm a part of. He loves the support, so we're talking about doing an interview hopefully sometime next week.
We do our show only on Friday night, so if it can be a Friday night, 7 o'clock, that's our slot. I can do that. You just tell me when before May 4th. I don't have a problem. If it want to be next Friday, it can be next Friday. We're wide open, brother.
We're gonna shoot for next Friday.
No doubt.
We could try to have like a money team interview for that one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And if you could make sure you send me you know, the same thing I told you. So, like, I got your picture, I need Floyd's picture, I need to put a promo together for it, but I'm gonna let you go. But listen, anytime in DC, you need help, anything, I'm here. You know, we'll talk. Me and you will have a talk anyway. I'll call you up and we'll talk.
I gotta hit DC up after the fight, so I'll be in DC. That stadium.
Woo!
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, yeah, like I said, we'll talk before then, but like I said, how about I hit you like on Wednesday or so, or Tuesday or Monday or whatever, and you can tell me what, you can talk to him tonight, text me, or I'll hit you on Monday and you let me know what y'all want to do. But until then, you know, we'll plan to have Floyd on next Friday. No problem, all of y'all, on next Friday, I don't care. So I'd appreciate it.
All right, Jazzy, I appreciate you, Mac, Jerry, you know what I'm saying, it's all love, you know, this P. Real or the Harlem Hot Boy. Follow me on my Instagram, that's the Harlem Hot Boy. Follow me on Twitter, the Harlem Hot Boy. You already know, might want to holler.
Okay, and I'm on, and you can follow me on Twitter too at Mac Williams, M-A-C Williams on Twitter. You can always hit me there and on Facebook if you're on Facebook, but I know you're not. But Twitter, you can definitely hit me on. But, you know, thanks, man. I appreciate it. We will talk either tonight or Monday. Either way, I'll talk to you, and I appreciate you, man. And with that, I want to thank Jerry for hosting the show, for being on the co-hosting the show with me. And all you people, get ready.
Hopefully next week
we will have Floyd. We will have Floyd, and we will make the announcement. But as for now, we are out. Thank you, babe. Thank you, P.
All right, babe. Peace, love.
All right. Peace and love, brother.
Take care.
All right.
All right. All right, you too.